But it behooves us to glory in the cross. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. A little girl, new to the church, had a question for the bishop. Why does he always give the sermon every Sunday? Well, not always, but often, and of course, every Sunday, for a few months. I suppose I do that because I'm the pastor, and I feel more connected with the flock when I can speak with you. But I told the child that, well, it's because I'm a bishop, you see, and bishops are most especially meant to preach. And that's true, too, and after all, today, somebody must raise his voice. There's been too much silence and a lot of confusion. In the course of this worldwide revolution, people use terms from the last century, communism, Marxism, fascism even would work. But the truth of the matter is, it is what Bush the First predicted, the coming, you see it on the dollar bill, the coming of the Novus Ordo Seculorum, the new order of the ages. And nobody's talking about that. People are dying, not only falling into dire poverty and suffering, but people are dying because they've been denied medical treatment and suffering very much. And everyone's sort of just going along with the program. Today, I want to talk to you about death versus death. Last Wednesday, though, Father Lectoranda was preaching the solemn mass for St. Joseph's solemnity as our protector, the Catholic Church. And he got to talking about how our church got started and how we've always had people who came from a great distance, how Richard and Elizabeth Smith and their family would drive up from Tennessee in the 80s once a month, and how our Catholics back then and today were sort of spiritually quarantined, and they knew to do that. They just stayed away from the new order of the Mass. Not because, as the Lefebvrist or Pius X Society says, because it would eventually destroy your faith. That's true. But because our faith tells us it's false worship and it is a sacrilege unto God. And the point of the Mass is to give God ultimate glory, not something for us. That's misunderstood. And then to deprive God of that glory, to mistreat his sacred things so, is a mortal sin. It is seriously to offend God, and that's death to the soul. And that the changes did not come from the Catholic Church, but from the invader. Yesterday's saint, he's the father of orthodoxy, the great Saint Athanasius, said, let us note, this was in the fourth century, let us note that the very tradition, teaching, and faith of the Catholic Church from the beginning was preached by the apostles and preserved by the fathers. On this the church was founded, and if anyone departs from this, he neither is nor any longer ought to be called a Christian. St. Athanasius was bitterly persecuted by the government of his day because he refused to submit to their decrees about what he could believe or preach or how he could practice the faith. But today, we let the government tell us when and if we could go to church. What do you think is waiting for us tomorrow? Fear them not, our Lord told us in yesterday's gospel for St. Athanasius. That which you hear in the ear, preach ye upon the housetops. And fear ye not them that kill the body and are not able to kill the soul, but fear him that can kill both soul and body in hell. That is to say, fear Almighty God. You don't hear a lot about that anymore. So many are so scared of a simple flu, as it turns out, somewhat milder than usual. But perhaps we ought to start worrying about the real death, which is the death of the soul by sin. How many missed Easter, even Easter this year, the resurrection of Christ our hope, and for what? Because your masters, or maybe your relatives, promised and urged you to believe them that they would save you from this flu if only you would obey. What a miserable state for a Christian. The ministry of the truth tells you abortion clinics are open for business tomorrow morning, and the liquor store is never shut. And Costco, they're there, and Sam's, and Kroger's, of course. But if you go to church, God can't save you. You had better stay home. And then the governor, look at me, listen to me. Father McKenna was telling us the other night, he follows these things, that one day this past week it was masks or no service in a store. So everybody puts on the mask. And the next day he says, well, now the mask is optional. So everybody takes the mask off again. The people are amply conditioned to comply. Those, remember, who control the narrative flow, the storytelling, control the majority of beliefs and of actions. Still, maybe they're starting to question. I had Father Cicada sitting outside a bit yesterday afternoon, and he heard the traffic for the first. You wouldn't think hearing the traffic would be a cheering note, but in our world, it is. But do you think they're going to give up their power anytime soon? No, they're holding off a bit here in Ohio because they need to set up the contact tracer system that's Clinton's idea, and of course, vaccinations and then digital certificates thereof. Don't worry, the idea is the government's here and it will save you. Did you ever read George Orwell? 1984, when you were in school, it might be worth a read. Well, anyway, he wrote an article, England, paper, towards the end of 1944, during the war, one of those wars. He wrote, there is little doubt that the modern cult of power worship is bound up with the modern man's feeling that life, here and now, is the only life there is. If death ends everything, it becomes much harder to believe that you can be in the right even if you are defeated. The Jews buried the cross of Christ on Good Friday in a garbage dump next to Calvary with the title and the nails. It was there, buried in garbage, for 300 years. And when the emperor's mother, Saint Helena, the great empress, came to find it, admonished by God in a dream, the Jews knew where it was, but they weren't telling. But finally, one stepped forward, and his name was Judas, and the cross was found with the odor of sweet spices, perfectly preserved. And in the meantime, for those three centuries, the church survived and thrived. Orwell concludes, I would say that the decay in the belief in personal immortality has been as important as the rise of machine civilization. But we believe, don't we? When we see the crucifix, when we assist at the unbloody sacrifice of the Mass, when we meditate the sorrowful mysteries, when we hear the truths read in this beautiful Mass this morning from sacred scripture, so much at the heart of our faith, we see not a hopeless defeat, but a clear choice, death versus death. A death, I mean, that ends everything. and destroys even your right to be right in defeat, and gives you only the right to cavil and to compromise and to cower under the heel of the government and maybe your relatives. Or Jesus Christ, yesterday and today and the same forever. Christ conquers. Constantine, the last of the pagan emperors, heard those words, and as he saw a cross in the sky, and he put that cross on his banners and on his military weapons, and he did conquer. The Greeks at Easter sing over and over again, Christos Anesti, Christ is risen from the dead, trampling down death by death. So it is death versus death. St. Athanasius, in ancient times, before our Lord's divine sojourn on earth occurred, even for the saints, death was terrible. And all wept for the dead as though they perished. But now that the Savior has raised his body, death is no longer terrible. For all who believe in Christ trample on it as if it were nothing and choose to die than deny their faith in Christ. And that devil, once maliciously exalted in death, now that its pains were loosed, remained the only one truly dead. Whose side are you on anyway? Christ trampling death, or the government trampling down everybody? Before Christ's death is mystically renewed on the altar, whenever one of our own dies, I mean the Requiem, the Mass for the Dead, the celebrant prays or sings that for those who believe, life is only altered. It's not lost. And this mortal dwelling being dissolved, an eternal home in heaven is prepared. You do believe, don't you? How could death? Death? A disease. A disease? A passing illness. How could death and not dishonor be the ultimate evil, even for Christians today? Death is only a door which leads those who have put on Christ and live in his grace, his life, which leads them to Christ in an instant, in the twinkling of an eye. And there he is, Jesus, judge of the living and the dead. And Father Faber says, to see his face, to glance at it for one instant, is worth it all. I end, as does today's gospel, the words of our Lord, that whoso believeth in him may have life everlasting. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.